The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I'm your host, John Age. If I sound a little gruff, it's because I'm still a little sick. AnomicAge.com is where you can find all things me, the free newsletter, the iPhone app, the Android app, the information breakdown segments, and the full 1 hour, maybe a little bit more, weekly editions of the Anomic Age. If you like all that, paypal.me/AnomicAge, patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. We got so much to get into today. Real excited to have the creator of StopHate.com. StopHate.com, he's been doing this since 92. David Summerall is going to be with us today. I'm real excited to have him back on the show. It's been a couple months, I guess 6 months or more. So he's got a lot of groundbreaking stuff to get into that he's just released this week from the January 6th event. So we'll talk to him in just a mere matter of moments. Stick around. It's my pleasure to welcome Mr. David Summerall back into the Anomic Age. It's been a couple months, and I'm very happy to have him back. David created Stop Hate in 1992 as a result of the LA riots to bridge the divide and to bring peace and healing through educating people of the division, supported by the mainstream media and focus on communication and community. He's also been on the front lines, literally, of the January 6th events. And in my humble opinion, one of the few people really bringing new information and continuing to follow this nightmare, David Summerall. One more time, though, we got to get to your URL, StopHate.com. David Summerall, thank you so much for being with us today.
John, it's good to see you again, my friend. You're knocking it down, doing good work, brother. Always good to see. Always good.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. You as well.
Thank you, man. I tell you what, it's a endless job. You know, I think we've got a lot of job security in what we do. Unfortunately, I don't know how long the job will last at this point. I'm sure that's one of the things we'll talk about as we go today.
And the sad thing, I've touched on this several times on my own show. I mean, all the old stuff that we were worried about is still there, but the new stuff's so much worse. I mean, the GMOs, the chemicals in the water, the normal vaccines that'll kill you. I mean, all the old stuff's still there, but now we got this, you know, huge elephant in the room that's starting to get a little rowdy and breaking stuff.
Yeah, and the bull in the china closet, whatever, it is nasty. And it's not getting better. It's not going to fix itself. And people, unfortunately, are still under the myth that the government's going to save them when they don't realize it's the very people doing it to them. It's really scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's that right-left paradigm that people keep kind of reverting back to, I think, just out of their own ignorance or normalcy bias. But, I mean, that's the thing that's going to get us all killed, that the Republicans are going to save us. And I keep telling people, no, they're not. They got us here.
No, exactly. And by the same token, and no offense to the people, because we are the people, but the people got us here. You know, people say, hey, we got to wake everybody up. Dude, we're the reason we're here in the first place. We don't pay attention very well. We don't play long game. We don't understand what strategy means. And we sure don't understand what defeat is. And we can't admit it to, you know, either side. So, you know, it is that right-left thing, and it is stupid. I mean, as much as people pick on others about the uniparty, you know, and listen, I'm the world's worst. I tease all the time about how the Republicans and Democrats, you know, there's no left or right. It's a uniparty. You know, they're working together in perfect harmony against we the people. But at the same time, John, what if we adopted that? What if we said, you know what, let's do the uniparty. I'm tired of the division. I'm tired of the divorce. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, let's divorce. You know how painful that is? If we put that much energy into the relationship, we could save it. So as a uniparty, maybe if we all got together left and right and said, how about we agree on something? How about term limits? How about we can all say left and right, we both have people that we don't like that have been there for 130 years. let's get rid of the long stay. Let's make there a shutoff. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, probably the majority of left and right, could agree with that. And that's what we could do to prove to the people that the government doesn't work for us, when we all get together and say, this is what we want, give it to us. And they say, no. Then we can say, okay, you're all fired. Go home. Fred, John, Sarah, y'all go take those chairs. You know, whatever we have to do at that point. But there has to be that realization that they really don't have our best interest at heart, no matter which side you're on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I came out with, I think, last episode and 6 months ago. And I always jokingly say, I'm going to lose tons of listeners, but Trump is not God. Trump's not going to fill that void. He's not going to save us. Look at, you know, the continual push of this vaccine mantra. I mean, I gave him a little bit of, all right, maybe just didn't realize it. But now it's just kind of like, okay, like the blood's on your hands, man. You're still telling people the same thing. You're still telling kids. You're still pushing this death sentence. And it just boggles my mind that people aren't catching up to this thing. I mean, I guess they are catching up to it, and they just don't know what to do. Heck, I don't know, man.
Maybe they're catching up. Maybe they'll catch up a little too late. I don't know. But, dude, I remember that, you know, like it was yesterday. You were saying, well, here I go, fall on the sword, whatever, and throw it out there. But it needs to be said. And you know, I'm no fan of any one man. I've never owned a Trump shirt or Trump hat. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't worship men. And he's just temporary as far as I'm concerned, as is any other politician or president. It's not going to last forever. Why put all your faith in one man like that? And then we see what he's done getting his booster the other day. And then, mm-hmm. you know, like I heard you talking on your show, very few people caught what you caught, John. And it's the little end of his whole statement when he said, oh, that's a small number. That's a small number. The people that said, boo, that's a small number. Trump, you're no better than a Democrat, sir. You're no better than a Democrat. And here's, let me back that up real quick. You're going to love this part. He stood up in front of everyone months ago and said, the Democrats have the name of the killer of Ashley Babbitt, but they're protecting him. Mm-hmm. Well, we have the name too, he says. And then he says, all right, everybody have a great day. And he walked off the stage, and that was that. He didn't tell us the name. He's no better than a dirty Democrat if he's going to keep facts and truth from us when we need it. We need to know who murdered Ashley. We need to know why they tried to protect him, why they tried to put him on a hero status when he shot a defenseless girl in cold blood, and why they tried to sweep that under the rug. And if Trump just the other day said that Ashley was the only person killed on January 6th, whose team is he on? Mm-hmm. I mean, is he falling for the same narrative that the coroner lied about, said Roseanne was a drug overdose and Kevin Greeson had a heart attack? Because those are lies. Those are lies. And if he's not any more in the know than that, he doesn't deserve to be our leader. If he has surrounded himself with bad people or bad judgment and advice, isn't that on him and his discernment at the end of the day? I mean, if I was taking bad advice from somebody, that'd be on me. Why is this not on him? Oh, it's not his fault. He surrounded himself with bad people. Wait, he surrounded himself. And that's kind of where I am with him.
I'm glad you brought that up, the part about, oh, they're just a little minority group over there. And I was just thinking, yeah, that sounds like Hillary calling them deplorables, Trump. I mean, this is your base.
It's the same thing, man. It's no different. You're calling names to your own people, say, I don't agree with you. Are you that far out of the know? Are you that far out of reality? Then still, you don't deserve to be our leader.
And I never bought into the, oh, he's just surrounded by bad people vibe either. I was like, well, of course, because he put him in there. Like, he said, I'm going to drain the swamp, and he put the swamp in his cabinet. He put the swamp from the Obama, Clinton, and Bush era right in place. I mean, right down to Fauci.
Oh, Fauci's the worst. If you don't know who Fauci is from the 80s, that's on you. If you don't know what AIDS is, that's on you. If you don't see this as part of a long game, that's on you. And listen, I mean, here's the basic question. We all think, poor Biden. I mean, let's just be honest. He's dumb as dirt. He's beyond his mental capacity or whatever. We get that. And it's not to be mean. We're just calling it like it is. Biden's not all there.
Yeah.
So you're telling me Biden outsmarted Trump? So Trump's supposed to be the smartest guy, the best, the strategist, the art of war dude and all that. And you tell me Biden got him, or is he in on it? There's one of two things. Either Biden tricked him or Trump is a part of it.
I mean, that's where I fell right in line with the 3D chess and all the Q stuff. I mean, at a certain point, I thought the Trump cult members were as bad as the Q people, because I was like, well, okay, well, you're making excuse after excuse. When is he culpable for what he's doing here? I mean, it's kind of the same. Oh, they're still going to have these sealed indictments, I tell you, and it's going to be okay. It's 3D chess still.
They're no better. They're no better. Here, man, let's take apart Flynn for a minute. Are you a Flynn fan?
I mean, I believe it when I see it. I mean, he seems to be all right sometimes, but I don't know.
You did see all the controversy about the prayer. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's some freaky stuff, man. You just kind of have to call that like you see it.
That does seem a little bit freaky, to say the least.
It was word for word what that other lady said. And, you know, I've heard the excuses that, you know, maybe he asked somebody to get him a copy of a specific prayer, being Catholic, you know, that he could do. And maybe he just got the wrong copy and got up there and read it. Once again, discernment. That's on you. You didn't even proof what you're going to get up there and read in public. That's on you, dude. If you don't do your own homework, that's on you, dude. If you only watch mainstream media, Trump, that's on you. I mean, where do you get your information if it's not from people like me and John? You're not getting the truth. You're not getting a fair shake at it. And it's really sad to do that to the people and then blame the people when the people were right the whole time. And we're seeing that with voter fraud. Look, Trump didn't do anything about the voter fraud. He didn't do anything about the censorship. He didn't do anything about Hillary. He built a temporary fence down south. You know, he didn't do anything about Obamacare. You know, he talked a big talk about all these things. But, you know, the thing I'm most concerned about, he let the white supremacy angle stand. Mm-hmm. He fanned those flames himself by not really putting it to bed. And listen, in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, when people look back to write about history and see what happened in 2021, all they're going to see is white supremacy, racism, overthrowing the government, trying to kill senators. Trump was a racist bigot. All his people were, they deserve to die.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to read in the newspapers and the media, because nobody's stopping it. Nobody's making them retract it. And here's the worst thing, bro. January 6th, Nancy Pelosi is going to get up and give a solemn occasion with these senators and people that were, oh, so victimized, poor little babies, you know, it's so terrible. Jeez. And they're putting this crap in the history books, and nobody say, hey, open investigation, lady, you can't have an event based on open investigation. No. And she said out of her mouth, we're working with the historian to get our version in the history books, basically. I'm like, how disgusting is that? Are they going to let me speak? Are they going to let you speak? Are they going to let any of the victims that were there speak? No. This is just as biased as everything we see in the media, the government, from Trump. Do you happen to get Trump's fundraising material, dude? It's disgusting.
I got something. I think last week I got some sort of text message and email and something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad wonders if you want a hat. My dad got a hat just for you. My dad can kiss my butt, dude. I'm sick of being marketed to like I'm a dumb person, you know, like I'm a third grade. I actually have friends that call and say, David, Trump wants to know why I'm not on the list. Like, dude, please. That is a robot marketing system. They do not respect you. They do not care. They only want your money. So if we do this big uniparty thing and just quit funding both sides, what do you think would happen? I mean, can we get some people back in the race that love America and love each other and quit playing this hate game between the R and the D? It's terrible.
That sure would be nice. And I'm glad you mentioned the history book thing, because it truly is out of 1984 now, where, I mean, I mentioned this earlier as well, where they just – yeah, I mean, our grandkids or what have you are going to know nothing but January 6th as being some sort of huge insurrection, and it was all real, and these Klansmen just rode through on horseback and tried to lynch these poor congressmen and senators. It was just heresy, right. I tell you. I mean, that's going to be the narrative. And because it wasn't turned around at the head, like Trump never went out and said, yo, this is bogus, this is bull. He called the bleeping troops in. I mean, come on, man.
he had 14 days to do something before he even lost office. He didn't do anything. I mean, he's raised $1 billion for his social media. He could throw 1%. 1% would be $10 million. Mm-hmm. 1% to the January 6th people for their lawyers, for some publicity, for some counsel, for some help, for therapy, for their houses, for their bills. You know, families are being destroyed, sir. Mr. Trump, sir, if you can hear this, if you want to pay attention to the people. But I don't think they'll run this on MSNBC or whatever, so he won't see it. You know, I mean, it's one of those small channel things. He doesn't really pay attention to us. He didn't for 4 years is kind of my point. And he sat up there with this pompous attitude like he knew it all and was going to save everything. Then he encouraged all this Operation Warp Speed stuff. And I just thought, what happened? What happened? But hey, man, let me circle real quick around to the General Flynn thing.
Please, man, please.
While we've got Flynn on the plate, that whole setup with Flynn, Trump could have stopped it at any point. It was all a big game that everyone played back and forth. Oh, they propped Flynn up because he took on the deep state by himself. You know, he single-handedly beat the FBI. You know, it's such a crock, you know. And literally, John, I'm on the team that developed the pardon of innocence for Flynn. So we literally put the verbiage together. There was a pardon. There was this. There was that. But there was no pardon of innocence until now. We knew that we needed that. It's a specific verbiage for Flynn. Completely unappreciative. I spoke to him not too long ago and said, hey, I'm on that team. Here's my friends' names. He immediately changed the subject. Didn't even honor them. Didn't edify them at all. Didn't acknowledge that I just said their names and changed the subject. And I thought, that's no leader. And here we know Flynn was on the list for VP, but they picked, you know, Pence because he's the preacher. They didn't want to look like Trump was Hitler. Okay. So here's the thing.
Another deep state operative in Pence. Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you, here we are. So now we have Flynn propped up to be a VP run, and they're going to say, hey, we can't use the military because Flynn's a general. We don't want to look like Hitler. But there's going to be civil war. You hear him saying it already. Oh, civil unrest, civil war, civil war. So, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. Trust Trump because he's the savior, remember?
Yeah.
Let's use the UN. Let's use the UN. This is perfect. Look, it's not American troops. We can bring them in, quadrant off the place, section everything off because of the civil unrest. We don't want a civil war. It's terrible. How bad? Mm-hmm. And let's shut everything down. Oh. And while we got you there, let's go ahead and knock out Operation Warp Speed so we can get back to normal. Trust me, I'm Trump. Yeah. I don't like the idea of any of that crap. I didn't sign up for any of that. I didn't sign up for Flynn to be touted as this hero that he's not. I mean, what did he do? Dude, he hijacked Q. Q was a decent movement, I think, until Flynn got involved. I think it was people out there searching and researching, looking for answers. And then it became this big game of who's involved and who's not. And let's solve this mystery. It was never meant to solve a mystery. It was meant to get the people involved. And then you get Flynn up there saying, stand by, you know, wait for it. Trust the plan. I don't think we had time to trust the plan then. I don't think we have time to trust the plan now. I think we need action. And what we screw up, we'll fix later.
Well, get into the prayer thing a little bit for anybody who might have missed that, because I know everybody hadn't seen or heard what the heck we're talking about here.
See, this is a crazy thing, folks.
And this is deep.
It is deep, you know. And here's the background on it. He's Catholic, you know. Catholics pray a little differently, you know, than like a evangelist, you know, like a Baptist or somebody. We just pray different, you know. And so Catholics, I get it. There's a difference. People want to write that off. But what Flynn said in his prayer was something that we as Christians don't do. We pray to God through Jesus Christ. We don't pray to legions of angels. We don't pray to Michael the Archangel. Now, Catholics may. I don't really think. I think they pray to Mary and Jesus and Joseph and saints and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe they pray to the legions of angels. I don't know. And I tried my best, John, to blow this off when I heard it. And it sounded bad. But then a friend of mine sent the video that shows this lady in this 1980s whatever video doing this psychic prayer and pray to the legions of angels. And then you hear, and then they flip it, Flynn, pray to the legions of angels, or whatever. I mean, it was three different clips.
Wow.
Verbatim, same stuff. And I thought, okay, I can't let that slide. So I started looking around and I found that members of the church that they had that event went to the pastor and said, Pastor, we have problems. We can't let this stand. We need to call this out. This is not normal. So you've got people that go to that church telling the preacher, dude, you got to do something. And he said, I mean, maybe he's just confused. You know, they paid us a lot of money to have this event here at this church, probably one of those things, you know, I'm sure. So don't be fooled, people. I mean, this whole thing is about many will be deceived. It doesn't say that they get explained. It says they're deceived. That means all the way through. And it says my people die from lack of knowledge. It doesn't say we save them at the last minute with knowledge. It says they die. So don't be the people that trust the people you're not supposed to be trusting. It's a discernment issue. Anyone that says put your faith in science and your faith in the government, run. They said nothing about your faith in God. Look, I'll take one for the team. I'll go down and go see Jesus before I do what they want me to do. It's just, and it's not that I'm anti-vaxxering. I have all my shots. I've had all my shots all my life. But I'm not going to sign up for this experiment. That's not on my list. And that is a choice. Then you see Ted Cruz get up there and say, hey, Operation Warp Speed has saved countless lives. And everybody said, boo. And he said, but, hey, in America, if you don't want to take the shot, you don't have to. That's a test, folks. Yep. That is a test to see what you say, how you react in public, and how loud the boos are. Just like when Trump said, yeah, I had the booster. Oh, hey, that's just a small number. Keep talking it down, Democrats. And I hate to use the word Democrat. There's some good Democrats out there. I'm sure like three, maybe four. I don't know. It's like there's three or four good Republicans left on our team. Don't feel bad. Doesn't make you special. It's the world that we live in. Every day's April Fool's. Trust no one. That's the plan.
Same with the Republicans. Like you said, Ted Cruz, you know, praising they shut down the pipeline to Russia. Oh, good, good, good. And then, you know, he's still got Rand Paul. Oh, he still need to get the vaccine. Vaccine's good. I'm like, you know, I think it plays into our good nature to always kind of give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just fouled up. I don't know. And then after a while, you're just like, well, what the? You've breached that point. You have crossed the Rubicon. You're no longer, wow, this was just a dumb mistake. Maybe I didn't read the prayer. I mean, this is just flipping nuts, man.
Yeah, there comes a point where that falls on us. You know, I mean, if you're watching the show and you think, man, this show's getting crazy, but I'm going to keep watching, that's on you. That's really on you. And there has to be a point in your life even to say, I've got to turn this garbage off, man. It's not healthy. It's not godly. It's not good for my family. And this whole be not of the world, man, we forgot that part. You know, it's like that old song, 60-year-old song or whatever says, you know, everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, hey, I totally get that. I mean, we like it here. We think it's great. We think it's cool. We think the movies are good, you know, the TV, the Kardashians. We got all these Starbucks and things that are totally and completely of this world, not of God, not of anything that we're supposed to be focused on. And yet there's our focus. And, you know, I try to talk to people all the time. I need help in every aspect as well because I'm human. But it's all about balance, man. We've got to get a better balance, not to put all our faith in one thing, not to put all our time in one thing, all our energy, but to balance that out. You know, give God what's God's first. First. There's something about first fruits and time and tithe and giving and sacrificing that he really honors, you know. And that's a huge difference, I think, than waiting and going through your whole week and say, I think I'll slide into church on Sunday if I have time. You know, that's a lot different than people in a country that walk miles to get to church because this may be the last week they ever have an opportunity to go to church. They may starve to death. A lion may eat them. They may be killed by another village. You know, there's thousands of reasons to want to go. And here we have all the privilege in the world and we fight it. That says more about us. You know, and that's what I tell everybody. Look, if we fought as hard for Jesus for 4 years as we did for Trump, we'd be in a different place altogether. But no, it was all about Trump, Trump, Trump. He's a savior. He's going to do this and that. And I thought, man, these people are just about as crazy as the Democrats say they are. Prove me wrong. Yeah.
And I think it kind of goes back to that medical mafia technocracy where people want that quick fix to, just take a vaccine. I don't need to eat healthier. I don't need to filter my water. I don't need to take vitamins. Just give me this vaccine. That'll fix it. Oh, just give me Trump. Hey, Trump's in office. Let's just sit back and wear our hats, wear our shirts, and call the communists crazy for good reason. But there was no follow through. It was all like, well, he's got it. Well, he made a little goof here. So he's got it. He's 3G chess is great. And then.
Yeah. We just don't understand how smart he is. You know, he's so far ahead of us. We think he's losing, but he's really winning. No. People are dying. People are suffering. The effects of this will be far-reaching and long-lasting. I'll give him credit for that because that's what he allowed to happen by letting Fauci stand right next to him and say one word instead of, you know, doing what everybody else thought, take him out in the street on public television and do what needs to be done in front of the world to see so they know who they're dealing with and what happens to people that hurt people. But we're not going to do it that way. That would be, you know, inhumane or unfair, unkind or something. And we can't do that. We can't be real when we need to be real. And listen, man, I'm not here to pick on the Republicans. I'm not here to pick on the Democrats in particular. I'm here to pick on everybody.
Yeah.
And just say, it's our fault, dude. It's the programming. We all drink the same Kool-Aid. We all watch the same movies and music and media to an extent. This is where we live. This is our home, our planet. The programming has been for all our lives and then some. And it's hard to fight against that. I'm not saying I have it down, but at least I'm aware of it. And I'm not caught in that consumerism trap of you're just here to buy stuff. And the more stuff you buy, the more useful you are. We'll let you live. You know, people like me that don't do that. We buy local. We don't play the debt games and all these other things. We're looked down upon. They don't like us because we're not like a huge mountain of debt for them to make percentages off. And they make their fair share. But, you know, it's like taxes, dude. Taxes shouldn't exist. Not the way we pay them. That's not even legal. It's not real. Not right. And people are unaware and we keep doing it. Yet we can't get enough people to say, hey, let's just stop. Look, if we get 70 or 80% of the people just to stop, man, that'll really shake things up. Let's have fun. Let's do it. But they won't. You know, you get 1% or 2% that say, oh, I'm not going to pay. And then they go to jail. And they put them through the ringer and, we better pay our taxes. Look, they got in trouble. No, man. It's all a sham, dude. It's all just like January 6th. Let's take these people and throw them in the slammer and make examples out of all of them. And they'll fold. They'll break because we're going to deprive them of any kind of religious services. We're not going to let them cut their hair or cut their fingernails if they don't take the shot. We're going to give them, you know, real bad food. We're going to put chemicals and stuff in their food when they act bad. You know, when we think they're bad, we're going to lock them down in solitary confinement 22, 23 hours a day. We're going to blame that on COVID, you know, and they're going to make examples. All these people will fold. Well, it's been a year. And these people are saying we are never going to fold because we didn't do anything wrong. We went to D.C. to protest. Mm-hmm. The police attacked us. We defended ourselves. You want to stick me in prison for that? So be it. I'm not going to lie for you and say, yeah, it was all our fault. Well, we didn't do anything wrong. We showed up there to say USA, USA, and here's grenades in the crowd and shoving people off the buildings and shooting women and beating women to death with a stick. I mean, these are the things that happen that the public doesn't know. Or maybe we really would be up in arms. Maybe that's why they put the fence up around the Capitol for fear that we would learn the truth and actually come after those people. Be amazing, wouldn't it?
That would be nice. Yeah, let's definitely get into that some because, I mean, I've been calling this what it is from day one and all the people that they've imprisoned, I just call them POWs because they're our prisoners of war. They're just the globalist satanic cult deep state has just put these American citizens in a POW camp, just like we might have seen the North Vietnamese do during Vietnam or the Germans do during World War II. I mean, this is the same thing, but people can't seem to get that. I think they can't they can't break the normalcy bias because they don't see bombs going off and planes and bombers and everything flying overhead. But I mean, it's the same thing, folks. It is the same stinking thing where they have declared war on us over and over again. We just can't seem to get it. I mean, they're beating us to death here and we still don't get it. They've shut down the Keystone Pipeline. They've, under Obama and now under Chairman Biden, shut down numerous power plants. They've had a blockade, a la the Civil War, from tankers coming in and from merchant ships coming in to drop off products. They've declared war on us through the vaccines. I mean, it's a declaration of war all the time, but I think as long as the American people have their bread and circuses and weed and booze and everything else, they just, hey, we're not at war. What happened to Bob? Well, he got drug off. He's in the POW camp in D.C. We can't see him or talk to him. I mean, it's a max security venture, basically, where we just get abused. I mean, they may as well be in a bamboo cage and getting fed rats.
Yeah, but you nailed it. You nailed it, though, brother.
Man.
When you said, where's Bob? He got dragged off.
Yeah, we don't know where he is. I don't know.
But that's
we got football coming on, though. Who cares?
Imagine the fear. Imagine the fear. If it was you or me or any listener, put yourself in this position. You're sleeping in your bed at 5:50 in the morning. 5:50. It's not even 6 o'clock yet. You hear banging on your door like you've never heard before. People screaming outside your door. Mm-hmm. Maybe some flashbangs. You don't know. All kinds of crazy. What is going on outside my home? Banging on your door. Open the door. There's red lights all over you, all over your children.
Yeah.
Don't let your kids sneeze from COVID right then. They might get shot. I'm just saying, these people come in hard and fast, man. This is like torture to these people. These are not the way that you serve these warrants. This is a shock and awe campaign, just like they declared. But listen, prisoners of war might make it sound too nice because they're prisoners of war. Now, you're absolutely correct. This is a war on all fronts. They are attacking everything from the church to the food to the transportation to the, you know, electricity. When the power goes off, we'll really be in trouble. Mark my words. When they cut the communication off, even to take one or two states out is going to send the rest of the country into panic mode. Just wait for that. But the political prisoner thing, you know, we said that for the longest time, John, political prisoner. It sounded just right because that's what they are. But we've expanded that to a new word. And I think it's a lot more fitting, brother, because prisoners actually have rights, you know, under the Geneva Convention and Mandela laws, you know, all these different things. Hostages don't. These are the J6 hostages, and they are being held hostage. And I'm not so sure if it's not for the people that sit in those representative chairs, if it might not be for some trade later. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Once their sins are revealed, there could be a war exchange, basically, to say, look, we'll take your prisoners if you'll give us our, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what that's about, but they are hostages. They are being not just neglected by a prison system. So we think about prison reform. We think about, you know, how long people are in, the conditions that they're in, stuff like that. These people get zero bail, zero bond, no chance to get out. They're stuck there until trial, which is at least halfway through next year. I mean, this is the thing that's happening to these people. They're in moldy conditions. They're drinking rusty water. They're eating bad food. They're sleeping on a hard cot with no pillow. I mean, these are the things.
It's like Guantanamo North. I mean, that's just D.C. Guantanamo, basically.
You know, it's worse than waterboarding. I mean, this is torture. And even Mandela says, if you're held in solitary more than 22 hours, it's considered inhumane. They keep these people in for 23 hours for months on end. They're trying to drive these people insane. It's worse than waterboarding. I mean, to be alone by yourself, isolated with no human contact is worse than fearing drowning by water. You see what I'm saying? At least you get some physical contact and people are putting their hands on you and you're getting to argue and wrestle and fight. Or you can sit in there and just go crazy by yourself. It's the most inhumane thing you can do. If people don't believe it, lock yourself in your bathroom. You're off this weekend for the new year. Just take 24 hours, lock yourself in the bathroom. Make sure you've got a glass of water because that's all you're going to get for 24 hours. Or a bologna sandwich or one hard-boiled egg with a cracker. I mean, does that sound like a good, healthy, hearty dinner to anyone? So, you know, forgive me for being a little upset about this. It has been a year. We're exhausted, man. We've been fighting this thing, trying to get this information out to people. And it's just arduous, man. It's painful and stressful. And, you know, we're not looking for a reward in it other than for our hostages to see freedom. And that's the ultimate reward. We just need more people that are aware that we were attacked that day. Don't fall for the narrative that we went to. Right. Even our own representatives, John, say, we don't agree with the riot. We don't agree with the riot. Dude, there was no riot. What are you talking about, man? We were attacked. We did not go to push and do all that crap. We went, were attacked, defended ourselves. Get your story right or don't talk. When people say things like that, it hurts us because then the left says, see, the right doesn't even agree with the riot. It wasn't a riot. It wasn't a riot. It wasn't an insurrection. There were zero weapons. The only people that died that day were killed by Capitol Police's hand. That's it. The conservatives, the patriots, didn't kill anyone. And it wasn't just conservatives there, by the way. I would say every political party was represented, as well as every ethnic and social category that you can imagine. It was a very wide variety of Americana that day. It was the most patriotic event I've ever experienced. That's still my story, always will be. And for them to try to take away that and bastardize our history the way they always do. And you got Nancy Pelosi up there on the 6th this year, going to give her big thing to try to secure that mark in history. That's why it's up to us to fight and really raise awareness now more than ever. This 1 year anniversary is a great opportunity for people to share our documentary, Writing History at StopHate.com, anything, the prisoners. And John, you know, we did the Department of Defense on StopHate.com. We've got 100+ people that we've found their fundraisers and listed them on our website, which is great. There's 600 more that aren't listed on our site. So you take 700 people that have been charged, some are jailed, some are home confinement and have been. These are the people that need a couple of bucks. These are people that need a letter. They need prayers. There are calls to action at stophate.com/J6. There is stophate.com/SHDOD, Stop Hate Department of Defense. Has got all the fundraisers. And there's ways people can help. You know, you hear all the time, there's nothing we could do. They can't get bail. So what can we do? We can pray. We can send letters. We can help the families through this struggle because the breadwinner's sitting in jail. These kids didn't have a very good Christmas. I can promise you that. Daddy wasn't there. Mommy wasn't there. Grandma wasn't there. I mean, these are the stories that affect us.
And it's kind of so repulsing to me because I feel like the vast majority of America just kind of went, oh, well. It was just like, oh, some people, some stuff happened. You know, something really happened there on the 6th, and then we've moved on. Sports is back on.
Yeah.
With holiday season, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, when we came home, we told everybody, you know, you're not very involved. We understand it. We see the lack of interest in the story. And, you know, the FBI is coming for us and they're coming for you next. Everybody said, dude, hey, man, look, let me just be honest with you. I'm not an insurrectionist. I would never hit a policeman. I would never go to D.C. and be violent like that. So, look, I don't know what you're talking about, but I would never. The FBI has no reason to ever come to my door. I'm a good citizen. And then that good citizen went to the school board meeting and said, excuse me, I don't like CRT. And bam, bam, bam. FBI is knocking at your door, baby. I told you they were coming. You didn't believe me because you're not an insurrectionist. But you're going to say you don't like CRT? Welcome to the party. We'll all be here eventually if you don't do something.
Exactly. And there's so many angles to touch on this. I mean, it's very obvious there was agent provocateurs. There was COINTELPRO going on. And I was looking at your videos. There was a flare, which I didn't even know about until I was looking at your material. And we still got the Ashley Babbitt murderer. Just, I mean, that's the, try to contain myself here. The juxtaposition of this is just so almost comical because you've got all these American citizens held hostage in D.C. in Guantanamo North. And then meanwhile, you've got the actual murderers, pedophiles, and scum just still running amok, like all those people Trump promised to put in prison, like Hillary and Bill and Barry and Big Mike and Nancy Pelosi, Biden, Hunter Biden, all these people just free as a bird, just having a ball.
Yeah, while we suffer, you know, while they still have New Year's and Christmas and Thanksgiving and 4th of July and dinners and parties and weddings and this stuff and get their nice clothes and do that stuff. These people have suffered every single day. They don't get a weekend off. It's not a weekend release program. They don't get to say, hang out in the lobby for a couple days and relax on the couches and watch, catch up on their favorite shows or surf the internet or check their social media or anything. I mean, these people are hostages that might as well be bound and gagged, sitting in a hole somewhere. And people really don't know to care because they've been lied to by everyone, including Ted Cruz, saying it's an insurrection. I mean, he does us no good. And you know, bless Marjorie Taylor Greene's heart. She fights, I guess, as hard as anyone for us, but she still calls it a riot. She's, I don't agree with the riot. Dude, please, lady, please. You've had my number since June. Will you use it? Will you please call me Marjorie Taylor Greene? Can somebody out there send that lady a message that says, you've got David Summerall's number. You asked for it on June 15th, I think it was. It's in her messages. Tell her, look me up, call me. I've got some things to say. Now, I am in contact with Representative Gosar, and we've had one of our teammates talk briefly to Matt Gaetz, and we're trying to get some hearings. I want three public hearings. I want one in Florida, one in Texas, one in Arizona, and I want video hearings. I want, if not showing my whole video, at least the murders, the flashpoints where the police attacked the crowd and made the crowd react the way it did, because they're obvious on video. And then we have witnesses and testimony from people that were there. I'm about to interview a man as soon as we finish that was at one of the critical scenes and saw exactly what my other witness I interviewed with says. So, I mean, these stories, they're lining up, and I've told everybody from the beginning, you know, the FBI is not doing an investigation. They're building a case. I think I told you that last time. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this, man. I gave them, because I had to, when the FBI came to my house, my attorney said, yes, give them the names and numbers of the people on your team. My team already knew that would happen. So it was not a surprise. I didn't throw anybody under the bus. They're aware of it. But it's like I told them, okay, here's David's number. He witnessed the Kevin Greeson murder. Here's Irene. She witnessed this murder. Here's Bill. He witnessed this murder. Guess who never got contacted by the FBI? The murder witnesses. They really don't want as much of that in their records as they can keep out, because then they would have to admit that they knew it since back when they interviewed me. And all this will come out. I just don't know if it'll be enough to change anything, because people don't seem to be involved enough to care that, you know, we've had two suicides by people who the FBI harassed since January 6th. Two people that were protesters, not police. There's supposed to have been four police deaths since that were suicides. Funny thing is, all four of them are Trump supporters. I didn't know Trump supporters had such a high suicide rate. We'd have to check into all those stats, but let me go somewhere real quick. Brian Sicknick, Officer Brian Sicknick, that they said was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher and ran with that story for days. The coroner report said he died from two strokes. The coroner's report fails to mention that he had a third earlier stroke at about 8:30 that evening. And I have multiple witnesses that saw him, that talked to him, that talked to the police that were caring for him, that were telling the police that dude needs medical treatment now. That's not normal. He's not just exhausted. But they sent Officer Sicknick home to rest it off because he was exhausted. He had two more strokes and died. If I'm not mistaken, isn't that like negligent homicide by the Capitol Police? That's number four for them that we know of, and we're still trying to prove Benjamin Phillips' cause of death. They say it was a stroke, but they said Kevin Greeson was a heart attack, and we have video of a hand grenade killing him, and they said Roseanne was a drug overdose. But like I said, we saw cops beating her to death with a stick. So these are the lies that the people need to understand that their masters and owners keep perpetuating to them, keep feeding them this line so they can get their civil war. And real quick, John, man, we've watched since 1992 when I started this, since before that even, the race issues, the religion, the sex, the, you know, hot weight, whatever you want to fight about. They even make abortion political. You know, everything's politicized to divide. And like we said a few minutes ago, you hear more and more talk and rhetoric about this civil unrest, this potential civil war. They're saying now, if Trump wins in 2024, there could be a civil war. If he loses in 2024, there could be a civil war. They say this all the time to try to get us to fight, to kill each other off, to make their jobs easier for them, to clean up what COVID doesn't get, I guess. But I'm not going to play that game when all the people that are on the same level, that's Democrats, Republicans, we're all right here. The people that are in control of us are the ones we need to be really pursuing in every way, shape, and form. Just like Maxine Waters said, run them out of here. Run them out of here. And I think there's a healthy movement coming in America that will do just that when the majority of people on both sides realize we've been played against each other in the most horrible way, and we don't want a divorce. We want America. We want unity. United we stand. Not divided we fall.
That's absolute fact. I hope we have time to get into this, but could we break down the people that died on January 6th? I mean, it's the Ashley Babbitt thing, I think, is kind of self-evident. We all saw that murder on live TV. But like you mentioned, there were several other people that most people probably don't even know about. Or if they do, all they know is the mainstream version, the Fox News version.
Let me give you the mainstream version. Kevin Greeson died of a heart attack. Benjamin Phillips died of a heart attack. Roseanne Boylan had a drug overdose. That's the mainstream version. That's what they sold people, and that's what everyone bought, and that's what's the crime. The crime is, how many Trump rallies had heart attacks? Just let's go there. How many people died at Trump rallies for the previous several 4 years? Probably none, maybe one. You know, I mean, let's look at stats. You never hear about it if they did. And then how many people have drug overdoses on methamphetamines at a Trump event? Really none. You know, I'm sure that's a zero statistic. So my question being, why did everybody buy these things so fast? So what we did in June, when we put our documentary out on June 4th, we showed, of course, Ashley being shot in cold blood. She was unarmed. She's 5 foot nothing, little bitty woman, ex-military, 14-year vet, great lady. You know, was not doing anything wrong. She was not violent. She wasn't beating up people or anything. So Michael Leroy Byrd shot her to death in cold blood, and they deemed him a hero. They said, oh, you stopped all kinds of things. If you hadn't have killed her, they would have come in and killed everybody. It would have been terrible, all these things. Lies on lies on top of fairy tales, because that's all they sell. They don't have truth. Now, Kevin Greeson, they said he had a heart attack. When my camera guy, David, that was down at the front there, saw what was happening, he came over, got to his body. They were giving him compressions, chest compressions. Lauren Witzke ran for Senate. She put a statement out. She was right next to Kevin, and her friend gave him CPR until her mouth bled. So there was a grenade. There was a heart attack. Lauren says he was killed at the hand of Capitol Police, plain as day, in her statement, plain as day. And so we know that Kevin was not just a random heart attack. It was caused by a grenade. Roseanne Boylan, they said, was an overdose. We see her in the West Tunnel, and the police literally beat her in the head and the body with a stick. I mean, the lungs, it's not even made for using against people, I don't believe. And the police in the tunnel were in an absolute rage. There's video of them pulling people into the tunnel to beat them. People that were trying to get out, they pull them back in.
And I don't think I've seen any of that footage.
It just came out this week, the 3-hour tunnel video. People need to see where they took Victoria White and had her pinned in that. She almost died like Roseanne. She got hit over 40 times, I think, in less than 4 minutes. With a baton, with the end of a baton in the face. They were punching her in the face. They were pulling her hair. They were spraying her and would not let her get, as she would go to the ground, they would pull her up and beat her. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people did not have the opportunity to see in the beginning because of the censorship, because Nancy Pelosi says, no, there's 14,000 hours of video. We can't let it see. But as soon as that started getting out, we got the video of Roseanne Boylan getting beaten by the police. The crowd is trying to protect her body. The crowd is trying to perform CPR. The police keep attacking the crowd and attacking. And it's just about the time that Officer Fanone was trying to make his big HBO debut. So HBO is trying to film this scene, and people are literally being killed so that they can get their shot. So we know Roseanne, Ashley, and Kevin were all murdered by the police. We said Benjamin Phillips in our film because we thought that was the man that they pushed off the wall. And that was 30, 35 feet probably. I've always said 20 or 25 just to be conservative. But the truth is everyone that witnessed it said it's more like 30 or 35 feet. And he ended up living, that guy. And it's not Benjamin Phillips. It's a different man. We did find out who it is and his name. But he survived. He is shattered, his legs, his lower back, everything. And, you know, he's in hiding now. He doesn't really want to come out and sue the police because they'll just throw him in prison, you know, and life is bad enough for him. He's suffering as it is. And these are the things. So Benjamin Phillips supposedly had a stroke. He supposedly went to park his car, got separated from his group, and they never saw him again. And then that evening when the group came back to the rendezvous point and said, hey, man, we still hadn't seen him all day. And you could lose somebody that day. There's a lot of people. I get it. But they get back to the rendezvous point. A policeman comes up and says, hey, I'm sorry to tell you your friend had a stroke and died. So they're like, oh, that's terrible. And they went home and told the wife, hey, the cop told us, hey, your husband had a stroke and died. I'm real sorry. Where's the autopsy, man? Where's the autopsy? Because that same coroner lied about Kevin Greeson. He lied about Roseanne Boylan. I bet you money he lied about Benjamin Phillips as well. Where's the proof? Where's the investigation on that? So that's why I want hearings, man. I want to do it ourselves. I want to do three big public hearings, 8 hours each or more. If we can do multiple days, that's fine. We've got plenty of witnesses, plenty of video, plenty of testimony. And then we'll publicize that. Televise that, blast it out, let people take it viral. So at least the people know what really happened from the people that were really there, even in our own mainstream media channels or the biggest we have. They don't put any real January 6 people out front that were actual witnesses that smelled the tear gas, that got the burn in the eyes, that felt the concussion grenades in the air. They don't ask them. They don't have them on the shows. Who's the 1-6 spokesperson? I don't think we have one. I don't want to be it. I don't care. But I'm just saying, my point is all the people that report on it, none of them were there. How do they know? They get the little details wrong, and that really messes it up for everybody else. They all talk about the first fence where the cops were, you know, the first fence where the cops were, the five cops. That's the second fence, people. Watch my documentary. You'll see everybody standing at an unmanned fence. No police, no guards, no security standing at this fence going, what do we do now? Everybody said, well, we move the fence. So they just take it apart and go up to the next fence with the cops. That's the second fence with the cops. Yeah, it matters. It really matters. And in these little details, the whole story. And man, John, that flare, that signal flare, that came down at 2:43.
Yeah, I never even saw that as well until just this past couple of days when I saw it on your site.
I've been digging for that. I heard word of it months ago, and I hadn't been able to find it. I finally had a gentleman contact me and say, basically ask and receive, seek and find. A good Christian guy said, here's the video you've been looking for. Here's your flare. And amazingly, the timestamp is at 2:43. Which is like a minute before they shot Ashley. So we're trying to figure out who shot this flare. It's definitely a signal flare. So who were they signaling and who was signaling who? Because that's definitely not something that you would carry to a rally. That's a professional signal flare. Shoots up, floats down, you know, the whole nine yards. So we're really interested to get more to the bottom of that. But I just want people to realize that, you know, the FBI at first said this was a planned event, that this was coordinated. This was planned. People planned to go in the Capitol. They planned to go there and do all these bad things. And they were going to do all the terrible stuff. Then they came out later and said, ah, you know what? We really hadn't found enough to say anybody planned anything. We're just thinking it kind of just happened, you know. So there really wasn't a plan per se, you know. But I think it's time for us to come back around as a people and say, oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a plan. There was definitely a plan. And we're sticking by the fact that there was a plan. The only difference is it was your plan. It was the FBI, the DOJ. And let me tell you one of the truth about HBO working with the FBI to put this film out, to get the footage they needed, it's going to be a real devastating blow for both. You know, and that's our whole point, John. The media, big tech, the government, Hollywood, we need to be done with them. We need to have a point in history where we can say everything that happened from this day past is past. This is a new day. We don't want the lies. We don't want this for our families. We don't want the deception, the dishonor, the hatred. I mean, there has to be a point in our time where we say truth from here forward to the best of our ability so that people know when that time stopped and started. Because if we live with the lies from the media in the past and we look in 30, 40, 50 years at how hateful a time it was, there is no stopping point. And it just continues. We need a point to where we say from this day forward, it's different. It's different. And we're going to hold everybody accountable to it. And I think that's when the people finally come together. That's what we'll get.
And the sad thing is we don't even have to look that far back to see the evidence of that. If we look at Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, World Trade bombing one, all that propaganda was used, put in place with the COINTELPRO, with the FBI, ATF, the same old usual suspects to create that narrative.
Everything. 9/11, the Patriot Act.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right.
Go back to our other actor, President Reagan, setting this vaccine stuff in motion. I mean, you really have to worry about, or not worry, because I don't like to worry. You have to wonder about when did it all start? You know, we know the JFK thing. So did it start there? Was it before then? How much did Ford get into it? You know, what about Nixon? I mean, these are real questions for real people. But, you know, it makes you look at other events in our history, kind of like our Benghazi. I look at the Alamo and I wonder, was there something that Travis or Houston or Crockett or somebody was standing against even back then to where they would leave them out there to die? Because right now I see Trump doing that to the leaders. The only people that went on January 6th were the motivated activists, leaders, podcasters, politicians, people with a little cojones that said, I'm willing to go when the president calls me. Those are the leaders that sit in jail. Those are the leaders like Jeremy Brown, like Jake Lang, like people like that, that are constitutionally sound, that know the difference between right and wrong. They're being left to languish in prison as terrorists to our country. And no one's doing anything about that on the higher ups, except four or five of our congressmen. And they're doing the best they can. But what are they getting done? I mean, it's really not affecting the freedom of our hostages. So people need to stand up. We've got some good rallies coming up on January 6th. From what I understand, at most of the prisons that these people are being held at, from Florida to D.C., I'm excited to see if some people show up with some candles, you know, get some support and some prayer for these people just to make some kind of voice for them, you know, so they're not forgotten. It's been a year. These are the original election auditors. These people went to fight for us all. And for the integrity of our votes, which we all believe was stolen, we can't afford to let these people suffer alone. We have to be there and support them, or they're going to get drug into deep water and drown. They don't have the finances. They don't have the legal funds. Their families are suffering. They need us right now. That's my plea to everyone for New Year's, is to get active with the January Sixers like it's your own family member sitting in prison right now.
Wow. Well, I guess that's a pretty good spot to leave it. Good grief, man.
That's a lot
I couldn't
of stuff,
agree
really.
More with everything you said, because I've, you know, like I said earlier, I think we kind of just not we, you and I, but I think the American people just kind of left a lot of people out on the clothesline to dry here and said, all right, well, that happened. Let's move on, you know. So
It's easier, you know, to not get invested, to not get, you know, emotionally involved, because then you can't turn your head on. And listen, man, I get it. You know, hey, some people might have done some bad stuff that I might not have agreed with. Okay, who told you that? Who told you some people did some bad stuff in the first place? Let's consider the source and let's be biblical. If you have a problem with somebody, go to that person. Ask one of the, if you want to know what one of these prisoners did, write them a letter in prison. I promise you they'll answer if they can. They live for our letters and they live for our prayers. So anybody that has a moment to write a letter, it's not the easiest process. They don't make it easy for us. But it can be done. Prayers you can do, and I promise you they appreciate it. There's a prayer group you can get involved with. All that stuff's on our website at stophate.com. But, you know, we just want to get people emotionally involved as well and just let them know, man, if it was you sitting in there, you wouldn't want to be alone, especially right now. And to feel that support is so necessary.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, because I know especially the work that I've seen lately really highlights this. There were provocateurs involved. This wasn't a conspiracy theory. There's clear evidence where you got the guy with the same shirt, the same bandana, trying to coerce people to get violent, trying to coerce people to move forward. I mean, so it's pretty cut and dry that there were provocateurs involved, as well as the usual the violence from the police. So
yes. Yeah. Well, provocateurs mean organization as well. So for the FBI to say that it wasn't organized is a bold-faced lie. So there was, and we've got different crews working on different projects right now. One of them is to identify the people at the Ellipse that were making signs and getting together and forming their groups and then following them throughout the day where they set up in their station to wave people through and direct people and hold those signs and who's in charge of what. It's all coming together. So we're proving that there was a great amount of organization. It just wasn't from us. It was from the bad guys. Let me introduce you to my puppy dog over here. Look, say hello. Can you no, right here. Look. She said, nope, that freaked me out. Can't do it.
Man. Well, one more time, what's the best place people can follow you and help you out?
Oh, man, stophate.com/help to help us with our mission that we're on. I mean, we appreciate every bit of help we can get from people. You know, help these prisoners. You know, we've really for the last year neglected ourselves in asking for help for ourselves because so many people are in need. I have not pushed my fundraiser. I've tried to do more and more. You know, I've always done this out of my own pocket and I wish that I could do more. And with a little bit of help, we are doing more and more. Have a really great team. A lot of people that are motivated in truth and kingdom work. You know, that's what it's really about for us. So everybody, first and foremost, check your relationship with Jesus Christ. Get that right. Everybody's going to die. Don't be scared of COVID. Nobody gets out alive. This is just another day. And but get that right. Get that worked out. Seek first the kingdom. And but stophate.com/help, man, we appreciate everybody. You know, just sharing the video that's on our front page, that writing history is really important. And 37 minutes, it's not very long. Everyone can watch it and share it and know what happened that day. It's the closest you'll get to be in there without being there and getting in trouble like everybody else did.
Man, well, if you'll stick around for a moment, I'll close things up here and talk to you in a moment.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you again so much, David.
You got it, brother.
Well, folks, that was a very powerful show. Thanks to David, I got to say. But if you missed any of that, fear not. You can go to anomicage.com and you can find today's show, as well as all the past guests. You can even find the past show David was on about 6 months ago. So nevertheless, anomicage.com is where you can find all that. As I always say, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So please try to get out there and do your part. Be safe out there. I'll see you sooner than later in the Anomicage.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to anomicage.com. That's anomicage.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. Yeah.
Thank you.